IndieCan Music presents the Toronto Indie Scene with your hosts, Joe Chisholm and Andre Skinner, bringing you an hour of Toronto's best new music and a look behind the scenes with industry insiders and artists.
This week we have Andrea Morris of AM to FM Promotions talking to us about how songs make it to radio. But first, live at IndieCan Studio, please welcome Sean Sage.
I don't know if I am a good man, but I'm trying to see the line. And I don't know if I am the right man to go home with tonight. But I feel like I'm slipping away into the darkness of this bar, and I don't know what it is that I feel as I watch you from afar, but of one thing I am sure, she don't want my eyes on. But I never seem to win, and I don't know if I should be drinking in the state that I am in, and I don't know where my hands would end up if they made their way to her skin. And I don't know if she'd like to be touched by the man I could have been. But of one thing I am sure, she don't want my eyes on her. Voices in my head, and I don't know if I am a ghost or if my life's just playing dead. Well, maybe I'm losing control, maybe I'm losing my mind, or maybe I'm just a lost soul that someone needs to find. But of one thing I am sure, she don't want my eyes on her.
Almost like it.
All right, so that was off your first record.
Yes.
Very, very, very nice record.
Oh, thank you.
I listened to it. You know, shortly after we met, driving around near the airport, and I threw it on and was, pleasantly surprised, because as I meet many other musicians in town, I usually kind of get a half decent CD, you know, production wise usually, songwriting wise. This one really took me aback. It sounded like something that was released by a major label or something. It was really good. I had to listen to it like three times in a row for it all to sink in, because you've got a lot of production happening on it with, you know, different instruments on different tracks and everything. And yeah, I mean, you sounded great right now. It's good stuff.
Thanks, man. A lot of credit for the first CD should go to Mitch Gerio. He produced it. He recorded it. He records a lot of people around town. Right. Kirsten Jones, The Cheap Suits, Jerry LeBlanc.
Yeah.
I&I.
Yeah, yeah.
Great producer.
I was going to mention him because there's definitely just some really magical touch on that CD.
He's great.
He sounds really great. We might as well jump into that right away as we're talking about it. How long has he been producing? And is he from Toronto? I don't know much about him.
He originally, he played in a band you guys might have heard of, King Apparatus. He
was definitely
a bass
heard
player.
Of that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's a bass player in King Apparatus and one of the songwriters. And they toured the world, basically, almost famous. Didn't get a record deal, but had a big following. But after a while, the band just went their separate ways, and Mitch started recording people to make a living. And
right.
He's got a family, a wife and kids, so that's what he does for a living, is he records people, and he does a great job. And
Where'd you meet him?
I met him, actually, I think we're going to be talking about coffeehouse.ca a little later.
Right.
I sort of met him through that. And coffeehouse.ca, it's an artist collective website, and they run an open mic Tuesday nights at Renaissance Cafe. And I met Mitch there. They have rotating hosts from people that are on Coffee House. And Mitch was hosting one night. And I went in to play the open mic and got to know him over the course of a few months and decided I wanted to put out a CD, and he helped me with it. So that was a while ago now. And now we're working on a second one together. So
right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, let's go back a while. How did you go from being a music fan to, hey, I'm a songwriter. I got it. I'm going to do this.
It was sort of a long process for me. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe not relatively speaking, I'm not sure, but I took to music pretty late. I always liked music in high school and stuff, but after hearing Bob Dylan, I knew I wanted to get a guitar and start trying to write songs, not necessarily professionally, but I just knew I wanted to do that. So I got a guitar about 17, 18. And pretty much started writing songs right away, some horrible, horrible songs. and sort of learned along the way. And I guess for years I would just play, sort of sitting in my room, you know, playing to the wall. And the wall was a pretty good audience, you know. It wouldn't clap, but it wouldn't, like, boo either or throw things. So that was good. But did that for quite a few. But then around 2002... I started going out to open mics to sort of see the reaction these songs would get, and I was pleasantly surprised that people really enjoyed the songs, and put the process in motion after about, I guess, a year of playing around open mics and gigs here and there. I put out a CD, and it's just sort of trying to get better at playing and performing and keep working at it. So
before we do too many questions, we'll move on to the next tune.
Okay.
So we got a few more to ask you in the next segment. So what do you have next for us?
Well, maybe I'll try something off the next record.
Great.
The record's coming out soon, sometime in this century, I'm hoping. It's going to be called Misadventures in Song. And maybe I'll play that track. I'm going to play that track. It's a title track.
Right.
I gotta do weird things to my guitar, so bear with me.
With poetry and melody and the secrets we can't keep, we're waking up the neighbors, singing them back to sleep. With so much fear but lots of nerve and a demanding muse we gotta serve. So let's get down, 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 down to the sound, 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 sound.
Life is simple, so we all can play along to these misadventures in song. I'm drinking with Hank Williams, ghost at the dark end of the bar, getting paid in alcohol and donations in a jar. In this room tonight, it's sink or swim. Another audience I got to win. So let's get down, 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 down to the sound, 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 sound. Keep it simple so we all can play along to these misadventures in song. Broken strings and broken hearts, but wisdom always gained. And lots of things will fade away, but the songs always remain. And I will die alone, but until then, won't you sing with me, my friends? Sing na 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 na. Let's get down, 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 down to the sound, 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 sound. Keep it simple so we all can play along to these misadventures in song. Let's get down, 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 down to the sound, 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 sound. Keep it simple so we all can play along misadventures in song, to these misadventures in song, to these misadventures in song.
That one before.
I know.
That's
very
catchy.
Nice, very nice.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks.
It was a little sketchy there. I was out of tune on the low end, so. But anyway.
That's all right. I was probably out of tune, too. Well, I didn't use my fancy tuning machine there.
Right,
so
right.
Who knows what happened?
That's a really nice tune. So, that's the title track of your new record. Is that going to be a single or something?
It's going to. So far, it's when I send out the CDs, I just the radio stations and stuff, it's sort of left up to the programmers.
Right.
It's a single, but I'm sure that'll be one that gets some attention with the choruses and the na na na's. If college radio likes hooks, I imagine they do. Everybody likes hooks, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what songs have had some good luck for you in terms of radio play?
That's funny. It's all over the map. The first track off my first disc, Homesick, gets played a lot. A tune that gets played a lot, it's a sort of a joke song, and it kind of bugs me when it gets played. It's a song called Sparrow, and I sort of have a live stage banter that goes with the song that makes it make sense why I'm doing a pseudo flamenco song.
Yeah.
And the audience usually enjoys it. We put it on the CD, and I kind of don't know, but it's kind of straight on the CD. But they seem to play that a lot. I mean, it's a good song, you know. I can see why they play it, but
it doesn't ring a bell. What tune is
it? I don't
that?
Think you've ever heard it.
Oh, it's not on the CD.
Oh, it's on the first CD, yeah.
It is? But I've heard the whole thing. Anyway.
Towards the end.
So, regarding this new record, when it does come out, are you planning on touring it?
Yes. Yeah, it's going to try to do some shows. I mean, I play around a lot. A lot of, like, weekend tours where I'll do a show. I'll make a weekend worth of shows out of town. But not. I haven't really done a full-fledged tour where go across the country or go for a week or two. But I'm going to try that with this record.
Good.
It'll be difficult. I mean, the next record is very much... has a lot more band-oriented stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of more rock tunes, for lack of a better word. And it'll be interesting to see how I can translate that, because most of the out-of-town shows will be me performing solo, because
right.
I can't afford to take the band on the road.
Yeah.
But yes, definitely look into tour into the spring and summer and next fall. Right now I'm focused on finishing the thing.
Yeah.
So, but I play around a lot in Toronto.
And are you thinking of getting out of Ontario for touring solo?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely,
oh, good.
For
great.
Sure.
You must have some favorite places to play where you always get a good audience.
There's some great places in around Ontario. Played one great room in Kemptville, Ontario, which is about 40 minutes outside of Ottawa, a place called Amanda's Slip. Always have good nights playing there.
I've seen the sign on Highway, what is it, 416?
Yeah, 416, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a cool town.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've heard lots about it. Got a couple of friends from out there.
Yeah, it's a good room. It's a nice little room. Another great place in Gananoque, by Kingston, is Patty's Pub.
Mm.
Had some fun nights there. Another great little spot is Peter Sellers Pub in Mono Center. Mono Center is about the size of this room.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the pub is like half of Mono Center. And the pub's really small. And people get really drunk there, but they treat you really well. They really love music there. It's good times playing there. There's a lot of great rooms to play in. Some great rooms in Toronto, too.
It's on the Bruce Trail, Mono Center.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Very good. Let's move on to track three.
Track
live.
Three.
What are we doing here?
Fix this guitar. All right. Here's my blues song. It's the only thing I could write a blues song about. It's called "Can't Play the Blues Blues." And the wonderful hosts of this program are going to be joining me on this song, and we're going to try and rise above our whiteness. 2, 3, 4. Well, I woke up this morning, I felt like playing some blues guitar. Well, I woke up this morning, I felt like playing some blues guitar. And I tried the best I could, but I didn't get very far. Well, I tried several different tunings, I even tried playing with a slide. You know, I tried several different tunings, I even tried playing with a slide. But no matter what I did, you know, it just sounded like something crawled into my guitar and died. Well, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just born to lose. I got the can't play the blues, blues. Come on, Joe, show me how to play those blues now. Come on, man. Something on that slide. Come on.
got the can't play the blues blue. If I could play like Robert Johnson, I would gladly sell my soul. If I could play like Robert Johnson, you know I'd gladly sell my soul. But I can't get in touch with Satan. I hear he works in top 40 radio. I don't care about the blues no more, man. Well, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just about to lose. Alright, now I got the can't play the blues. You know I got those can't play the blues. I got those can't play the blues.
Hi, this is Mo Berg, and you're listening to Indie Can Radio.
We'll be right back.
Talk about a trip down memory lane. I think Dokken, Poison, Cinderella. Gotta love it, though. Some local dudes called the Prime Rockers off their full-length CD called Rock and Roll 101. That track was 16 and excited.
There's everything there. Well, everything from the 70s and 80s. There's a couple of tunes that sound kind of Aerosmith-ish. And if you want to trip down memory lane, you got to check out this CD. Before that, we had Sam Hell, another band from Edmonton who came down to Toronto to try to make it big. And that song was called Addiction. And you'll be seeing them around the Toronto scene. They're playing North by Northeast this year.
So there's some exciting news this week from the Ryan Luchuk Band, who we had here at IndieCan as our first musical guest. They're having their CD release party at the Horseshoe Tavern this Friday night, the 12th of May, and that will be their second full-length CD. So check that out if you can.
Yeah, I love the CD. It sounds great. If Ryan Luchuk ever figures women out, that'll be the end of his songwriting career, unfortunately, but I guess he can start a book tour or something.
So we're going to kick off with Only Girl, the first track here off of his sampler CD that we got. So here it is, Ryan Luchuk Band with Only Girl.
Quiet little girl, barely 5 feet tall. You know you sure can fight with the best. We don't This is Andrea Morris from AM to FM Promotions, and I hear it first on the Toronto indie scene.
In that last set, we heard Riley, a great Toronto band that will be playing with the Ryan Luchek Band at their CD release party this coming Friday, May 12th. That tune was called Drowning off of their Listen to the Rain full-length album. After that, we heard Quagmire with a tune called 74, another great Toronto band. They're a Celtic band. They play around, and a good story out of that is John Pulaski and his brother Nathan, who play with the band, also tour with the Chieftains and tour worldwide. I have the pleasure of knowing them. They're all great guys. And finally, at the end of that set, we heard Chrome, another great Canadian band, with a tune called Betrayed.
You know what's cool about this job? Anything I need to know about the music industry, I think, who already knows that? And Andre and I invite them into our studios. Well, I wondered, how do songs get pitched to radio? So we invited into our studio Andrea Morris of AM to FM Promotions and Tobias Her Dog. Andrea pitches songs to radio. Now, Andrea, can you tell us what a normal week looks like for you?
Well, I do independent radio promotions, which means that I don't work for a label. I work for myself. So bands or labels or managers hire me to get their music played on the radio. I work every format except for country because I really don't have the connections at country radio. Typical day, Monday, Tuesday, I'm on the phone all day, starting at about 8:30 in the morning until about 6 at night, just calling radio stations, telling them about my music, or about the band's music I'm promoting, and, you know, really, really encouraging them to add it to their rotation. That's all day Monday, all day Tuesday. Wednesdays, my assistant comes in, and she speaks French. So she calls all the French radio stations in Quebec because I think it's a really important market, and it's one that I don't speak French, so I can't really deal with. However, I want my artist to be played there. So she calls all the French radio stations, and then I'm compiling information from radio stations about what they added to put into my reports that go out on Friday. I try to make Thursdays and Fridays my meeting days to drum up new business or to arrange interviews for artists or, you know, talk about tour dates and, you know, just kind of help write bios, you know, bring in other stuff. And that's kind of my week in a nutshell. And then there's always going out to shows and looking for new bands to work with and watching DVDs and listening to tons of CDs that I get sent to kind of figure out if it was something that I'd work or not.
Andrea, I first found out about you in an interview you did with Space Junkies magazine. And I remember clearly you said bands should not represent themselves. Not only that, you've been on both sides of the fence. You've been a program director having music pitched to you, and now you're calling them, pitching to them. So when should a band engage you, and how does the process work?
I recommend that I work with a lot of artists from the stage of inception, where they'll come to me with rough demos and say, is there a song on here that's radio friendly? And I'll tell them, explain them the formula that radio needs in order to play a hit single, what it takes to make a hit single, actually. And then, you know, many times I've had artists come back to me and worked with artists over the course of a year, and they'll keep bringing their demos to me. And, you know, kind of letting me hear things, and I'll say yes, no, you know, you need to tweak this. I would recommend, you know, doing this. You need a bridge. You need to do that. And you need to have the dog drink water while you're speaking. And I'll work with artists on that level. I think it's important. If you don't listen to commercial radio, you can't expect your records to be played on commercial radio. And I've had many artists come to me as well and say, well, we don't like commercial radio. Then why do you want to hire me? You know, you have to be able to understand that, you know, for maybe 8 songs on an album, you can wank off as much as you want and do your thing. But for 3 songs, you actually need to follow the formula. Give radio what it is they need to play your records. And I find also that most artists don't understand it's a music business. Radio's a business as well.
So you just mentioned formatting of songs. What kind of guidance do you give artists that you work with?
You need to basically get some kind of a musical hook or a lyrical hook in before the first minute. Radio programmers generally don't listen to your entire song. They listen to about the first minute, with the theory that the average listener, if it doesn't tweak their interest within that time, is going to push the button and go to the next station. So, you know, I always say with rock artists, I think Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters is a fantastic example of a great writer. Because he has musical hooks, he has lyrical hooks. He might not get to his lyrical hook until, you know, maybe a minute 15 into the song, but he's got enough really great, interesting verses that you sing along to immediately. And that's the thing. A lot of artists don't get that. It has to be something that I can sing along to fairly quickly.
So for our listeners out there, people interested in your line of work, why don't you tell us a little bit about your career and how you got to where you are today?
I started off actually on air. I started off working midnight to 6 at a small radio station in Jacksonville, North Carolina, called WXQR, was the rock and roll animal. And we run a Marine Corps base because Jacksonville is home to Camp Lejeune, the world's largest amphibious Marine Corps base. So you can imagine that our listenership was really rock and roll guys, you know, that wanted to hear Freebird every other minute because... you know, I'm getting out of the core today. Can you play Freebird for me? So that's how I started off in the industry. Worked my way up to doing the midday shift, and then became the music director at that station. And at that point, it was fantastic, you know, being able to deal with reps, being able to hear all this new music, and also frustrating because as a music director, I'd want to get things played on the radio station. And it was a constant battle between consultants, between the station owner, between the program director. And it was all about being really passionate. And after a while, I just got really frustrated with it and quit, and then moved to Los Angeles and worked in market research, and then moved to England and got back into the business in England and worked on there in Piccadilly Key 103 in Manchester and at several other radio stations. Then came back to the States, to my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio, and got a job on air at a smooth jazz station there. And then I became music director at that station. And from there, ended up working at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And wow. And then got offered a job at IRS Records to do regional radio promotions. IRS, the now defunct IRS Records, was located in Los Angeles at the time. And I happened to have known the regional rep from Boston was a woman that had come to town many times, and I'd seen her out at shows. And she got promoted to vice president of radio promotions and called me and said, "Hey, I need someone to do radio promo out of Cleveland. Whenever I'm in town, I always see you everywhere. You're the mayor of the town. You know everybody. I think you're perfect for this job. I think you can do this job. You know, can I fly you to LA?" Mm-hmm. I was like, "Okay." And that's how I got started in radio promo.
So as a music director, you had people pitching songs to you all the time. What are things people do right and do wrong when they're pitching songs to radio?
Yeah, you get a lot of that, particularly at that point. Remember, I was music director in the States, and the pressure on major label promo people in the States is incredibly, incredibly tough, because you've got, you know, everybody wants numbers, 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 and sales. So I would have major label guys screaming at me going, "You've got to add this record. Don't you get it? You've got to add it." And I'm like, "But it doesn't fit my audience. But it's number one. It's like, you know, it's number 10 and we need you." It's like, but it doesn't appeal to my audience, you know. And a prime example was working in Jacksonville, North Carolina, with a Marine Corps base as our core listener, our core audience, and then my consultant telling me that we had to play Kim Carnes' Betty Davis Eye. That's not going to fly with our listeners. This is a Southern audience. This is Southern rock. This is Lynyrd Skynyrd, Molly Hatchet, you know, Van Halen, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin. This is not a Betty Davis Eye's audience. And I remember just coming home from work and just wanting to, like, you know, push my head through a wall, because it was like dealing with people that were just all about the politics and not about the music. And that's a lot of what I deal with as well, when you're dealing with radio stations that say, "Oh, you know, I can only play it if there's numbers." Well, how can you get numbers on a track if everyone's waiting for numbers for them to play it? So that's the frustration of what I do for a living.
So when you're out there pitching songs and a program director says, "Okay, I'll give it a whirl," how many spins does it get before they decide whether they're keeping it in rotation or not?
Usually radio stations don't start testing until it's at least over 100 spins.
No kidding.
Yeah, because it's, well, you can't really test familiarity unless people have heard the song. So to spin a song 6 or 7 times and then say, test it, is stupid, because no one's going to be familiar with it.
So let's say I'm a new band and you tell me you've got a song that's going to be played on the radio. Do I get my street team out there phoning them in for requests, or do radio stations see that coming?
They totally see that coming, which is why I won't give out request numbers. I won't give program director emails. I won't give station emails. It's not fair to you as an artist. If you can't see if your track is reacting if you're flooding the calls. And the radio stations aren't stupid, and I've had program directors threaten to pull tracks because of that. Yeah, they're just like, "You know what? You're not giving us a fair readout here. This isn't right. If you keep harassing us, we're going to pull your track."
So do you have any favorite stories of bands that you've seen succeed on the radio?
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, in the U.S. as well as here, this past summer I worked a track by an artist named Fessional. And that was an artist who I had been working with for a course of 6 months, where he, you know, his manager and he came to me and played music to me, and I helped them develop the song and actually took it to the flow and said, "What would it take for you guys to play this?" They gave us some suggestions, hooked us up with different producers, and the track got to number 27, I believe, on the CHR chart, which is pretty good for a song that was never released, never had a video, and didn't have any budget whatsoever to go with it. So that was, I was really, really pleased with that. I would have liked to have gotten it higher on the charts, but, you know, they ran out of money. But it was a great single, and I think it did really well. Had they had a video to go with it, they could have sold the track to Europe and to different areas, you know, and probably gotten on a Much Music compilation and the like.
So let's see, you decide you're going to go with a song. Do you already have a sense of whether or not it's going to be a hit and where it's going to be a hit?
If I knew ahead of time, I'd be a millionaire. You know, there are things that I listen to that I think, God, that's a hit record, you know, and it goes nowhere. And other things that you think, I'm not really sure about that. It's not my personal taste. And all of a sudden, it's like blowing up the chart.
With all your experience, why would you think a track that in your mind is amazing would tank on the charts?
It's all the politics, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, look at it this way. I could have a great rock track. And I do. I have three great rock tracks I'm working right now. But there's also a new 3 Days Grace. There's a new Billy Talent. There's a new Nickelback, a new Theory of a Dead Man, a new Our Lady Peace. You know, at one point do you, as an independent, unknown Canadian band, your song has to be really killer, you know? And radio, rock radio in particular, also wants to see something else happen. They want publicity. They want to know that you're on the road. They want to see you actually doing something to support your release. Whereas with CHR radio, you could, you know, you could put a track out, get it in the clubs, and never tour. Like this summer, where the guy's track wasn't even available for sale, and he had a big hit.
So that was our Industry Insider section for this week with Andrea Morris from AM to FM Promotions. We want to thank her for coming in.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us this week. A special thanks to all of the artists featured and our special guests. It was a week of technical nightmares, but the show did go on, and thanks for bearing with us. We'll be better next week. In fact, next week we have Antihero from London, Ontario, visiting us. They'll be at North by Northeast, but you'll hear it first at Indie Can Radio. And we also have Cameron Gordon, a veteran music writer from the Toronto scene, who's going to be here to talk to us as well. See you next week.
Okay, to wrap up the show, we're going to play one more tune by Sean Sage off of his One of the Good Guys CD. This tune's called Homesick, and it seems to be his most popular tune. Every time he plays it live, people sing along and know the words. So here's Homesick, Sean Sage, and thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
I've been feeling homesick ever since I burned down the house. And I can't look in the mirror ever since you became someone else. Now I'm at your door, my heart is broke. My head is sore, please let me inside. Give me a wink, then pour me a drink. Baby, I know I'm starting to sink. Let's lose what's left of my pride. Don't show me the door. Show me the floor, and I won't ask for reasons no more. Cause I don't ever wanna realize. Bar since Tuesday, just trying to feel alright. But my friends turned on me and they tried to start a fight. The whiskey told the truth to me, all of the things I was scared to see. But now I'm too drunk to understand. traded bullets for a beer. And I can't even remember why I even brought it here. Remember Disneyland, you, me, and Mickey walking hand in hand, ice cream melting in the California sun. Give me a wink, then pour me a drink. No need for the lawyer or for the shrink. All you need is to look in my bloodshot eyes. Show me the door, just show me the floor, and I won't ask for reasons no more, 'cause I don't ever wanna realize.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an IndieCan music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.